Thank you, Andrew, and the team for leading us in our song worship this morning. I want us to spend a little bit of time this morning looking at a lady in the Bible called Mary. Mary of Bethany. Mary, the sister of Martha. Mary, the sister to that of Lazarus. And as I could find, there's three accounts where we find Mary. There is one account where we find Mary, and she is sat at Jesus' feet. And Martha, her sister, is rushing around preparing, and Mary is sat at Jesus' feet. There's another occasion where Lazarus, her brother, has died, and Jesus arrives, and Mary, we find her again at Jesus' feet. And the third occasion is where she anoints Jesus' feet with oil and dries with her hair. So we're going to look at this lady Mary today, and I think there's some vital points and parts that we can take from the life of Mary and fit into our own lives today here in Bromham. This lady, as I could find, who didn't write anything, she didn't perform any miracles, there's no healings around evolved about her, but we can learn something from this lady who sat at Jesus' feet. And Andrew has led us in our worship so wonderfully, as he always does. I just said to him, this is what I'm going to be speaking on, and he just kind of seems to find the songs that fit so nicely. But before we get there, before we get to Mary, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever done anything in your life where someone else has gone, what in the world are you doing? It happens to me quite a lot, because I'm someone who just kind of does things without really thinking about it. And normally the look comes from Sharon, my wife, of, Will, what in the world are you doing? What is this thing that you have just done? As I was thinking, there are a couple of occasions where I can just remember where people have said, or Sharon has said, what are you doing? There was one time when Charlotte, my youngest daughter, she was 2 years old. We lived up in Hull, and Sharon went to York shopping for the day. And Charlotte, when she was young, she had the beautiful, tight ringlet curls. And they were these beautiful little ringlet curls. And Sharon had gone off for the day. And Charlotte came down the stairs from after a night's sleep. And I thought, what has happened to those beautiful ringlets? She looked like she'd been dragged through a couple of hedges backwards. The hair was all over the place. And I thought, what am I going to do with this hair? Where's Sharon when you need her? And Sharon's gone to Israel, so the girls might look a little bit messy. No, they don't. They're beautifully dressed, looking beautiful, everything's perfectly in place. But anyway, and I'm kind of in this moment, what do I do? And I'd seen Sharon with straightness before. And I thought, maybe to tame the hairy mane a little bit, I could just straighten it. It will just bring everything down a little bit rather than it being all up here. So I straightened her hair, and it looked awful. And it would just look bad. But I thought, well, there's nothing else I can really do. Sharon came home, and I got those exact words. Will, what have you done? What is this? What have you done in this moment? And she wasn't very happy with me. She even says that her beautiful ringlets aren't there anymore since the day I straightened them. But it's still a little bit curly, and it still looks a little bit nice. But there was that moment of, what are you doing? What have you done? And more recently, my brother, he got married, and he had this pot. And it was a money pot that was one of those ones that the only way you can get the money out of it was to break it. One of those pottery pots. And he had it as a honeymoon fund. And whenever we saw him, he used to give it to us to put money in. I used to think, you pay for your own honeymoon. I don't see why I need to be paying for your honeymoon. But anyway, he would have this pot, and it just became a little bit of a running joke that he always had it with him. And we were sat having a big family meal. All of my family were there, brothers, sisters, all the kids, all the rest of it. We all sat around the table. And he came and he just gently shook this pot of money behind my head. And I thought, I'm going to take it from him. So I took it off him. And in an absolute joke, I was going to pretend to smash it on the floor. But I don't know what happened. It slipped out my hands, shattered everywhere. Coins went everywhere. The kids thought Christmas had come early. And I was like, oh no. But in that moment, every single person in the room was like, Will, what in the world have you just done? The whole room's eyes were on me. It wasn't meant to happen. It was supposed to be a joke. It was supposed to be funny. But I wasn't supposed to let go. But it was everyone's eyes were on me as if to say, what have you just done? And actually, when we look at the life of Mary, this Mary of Bethany, and two occasions that we're going to look at today. The first one that we're going to look at today is where she anoints Jesus' feet with oil. And the second one that we're going to look at is where she sits at Jesus' feet. But the room are like, Mary, what have you done? What are you doing in this moment? Why are you doing what you're doing? And we'll come to those in a moment. Grab your Bible if you've got one with you, and we're going to turn to the book of John. We're going to John 12. And this is the first part that we're going to look at, which is Jesus has his feet anointed by Mary in this place at Bethany. John 12, verse 1. And it says this: 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served while Lazarus among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped it with her hair. And the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth about a year's wage. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, because he was a thief. A keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she would save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. So Mary, in this moment, she has this perfume, and it's about a pint of this expensive perfume. So if this was today, I googled to find out what a year's wage was. It's something between £29,000 and £35,000, depending on whether you work part-time or full-time, but that's probably not the point. But anyway, it's about this perfume, and it was like taking this perfume of about £29,000 to £30,000 worth of money and pours it on Jesus' feet, and then she wipes it with her hair. So, this perfume, you will be glad to know, my youth budget didn't stretch to £30,000 worth of perfume, so that's fine. But this is what she did. She takes the perfume and she pours. She starts to pour this expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. And I should imagine the disciples around about would have thought, maybe she's going to stop. Maybe she'll just pour just a little bit. And maybe she'll just put like a little bit on, because this is expensive perfume. This is a waste of what's going on. But Mary, she doesn't. In that moment, she pours and she pours. She pours. I was thinking it would pour a bit quicker. She pours. She pours and she pours and she pours. This £29,000, or however much it would have been in the day, but this expensive perfume that was worth a year's wage, she takes it and she pours it out on to Jesus' feet. And when she's poured it out onto Jesus' feet, she then bends down and dries and wipes with her hair Jesus' feet. In Matthew's account of the same passage that we've just read, in Matthew 26, verse 8, it says, when the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They're there in this moment. Mary is pouring this bottle out on Jesus' feet, and the disciples around about are looking in on what is going on. And they're looking as if to say, what are you doing? What are you doing, Mary, in this moment? This is an expensive bottle of perfume. This is worth about a year's wage, and you're just wasting it. You're pouring it out, and it's an absolute waste. Why this waste? The disciples were indignant at the waste that had just gone on. But Mary, knowing the expense of this perfume, this act of worship, this act of devotion, this act of love to Jesus, her love, her worship, her devotion, her everything. Mary understood that people around about her would have been looking, saying, this is an absolute waste. This is extravagant. This is a waste. This is way too much. This is excessive. Mary, why are you doing what you are doing? But when it comes to our worship, when it comes to our devotion of Jesus Christ, nothing is too much. And Mary, in that moment of love, of devotion to Jesus, she just poured. And she poured, and she poured, and she poured again. There isn't excess. There isn't waste. There is not too much. Mary had every right, although she didn't, but had every right to turn around and say, extravagant? Waste? Why? Surely not. Do you not know who this man is? He's Jesus. He's worth everything. He's worth our all. If we had another bottle, we should pour on another bottle. Don't you know who this man is? And it made me start to think, with our lives, with our devotion, with our worship? How do we react in that moment? When I've got another bottle, but with our worship and with our devotion, do we take just a little bit of our devotion and go, well, we'll just go there. That's absolutely fine. Because we're not going to waste it. I don't want to waste my devotion on Jesus. I don't want to waste my love and my worship onto him. I don't want to waste it. I'll just pour just a little bit. And that's fine. When really we should pour and we should pour. And we should pour and we should pour. Because we can look at the life of Mary and say, actually, Jesus is worth it. He's worth all of my love. He's worth all of my devotion. He's worth all that I have to offer and all that I have to give, because nothing is too much. And if I've got another bottle, I should go again and again and again, because nothing is too much for Jesus. Nothing is too much. But do we sometimes just pour a little bit and think, okay, well, that's okay. We'll do a little bit and now we'll leave it. I find it really interesting. In the book of John, we literally, John writes and we get this massive contrast in Judas and Mary. Did we read that? As we read in the book of John, we get Judas, who is the betrayer. We've got Judas, who is the thief. And we've got Mary, who is like, nothing is enough. I'll give more if I had it. She pours out her everything. This Mary and this Judas contrast that we have. And if there was a scale between the two, my question is, where would we sit? Where would you sit in your devotion? Where would you sit in your worship and your love to that of Jesus Christ? Would you be a Judas who says, that's just a waste, that's way too much going on, we're not going to do that, and just keep everything to ourselves? Or are you a Mary who literally gives of your everything and gives of your all? Or are you somewhere in the middle where you just pour a little bit, or just pour a little bit, or pour a little bit? Be a Mary. Judas, he got it so wrong. And Mary, she got it so right. The room, the people around her were pointing the finger as if to say, what in the world have you done? What are you doing? What are you doing in this moment? But Jesus, he comes up with this lovely word in John 12, verse 7. He says, leave her alone. Leave her alone. In Matthew's account, he says, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. And I don't know about you, but I don't care what the room thinks. I don't care what the people around me may think, because my devotion of Jesus Christ, he's worth it all. He's worth everything. He's worth pouring everything into, because he is so worth it. A life that is sold out for him, not caring what the room thinks, but knowing that Jesus, all he's after is my love. All he's after is my worship. All he's after is my devotion to that of him. And I want to encourage you that we would be like Mary, who just pours out again and again and again. If you've still got your Bible with you, turn to Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 38. Luke 10, verse 38. We find this account where Mary is there again. Mary of Bethany, sister to Lazarus and to that of Mary and Martha. Martha, sorry, and Lazarus. And it says this: as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Mary, she's there, sat again at a place of Jesus' feet. Martha, who is rushing around doing all the preparations, all the things that need to be done, all the jobs that have to be done. And Martha, she's in this moment of pointing the finger. Like Mary had just had the point of the finger of the disciples, this same point of what are you doing? What are you doing? You're sat here at this Jesus' feet and leaving me to do all of the jobs. What are you doing? What are you doing? The NIV Study Bible says this: Jesus did not blame Martha for being concerned about household chores. He was only asking her to set priorities. Is it possible for service to Christ to turn into mere busy work that is no longer full devotion to God? He was saying to Martha, set priorities. There's priorities to be set out here because there is this kind of difference between serving and doing and being and doing all of the jobs that need to be done and just being at Jesus' feet and just that life of full devotion. Sometimes we can be so busy doing that we forget who we're doing for. Do we hear that? Sometimes we can be so busy just doing that we really just don't realise who we're actually doing it for anymore. It just becomes a job that we do. Now hear me. Don't stop, Rotors. Stephen will be cross when he comes back from Israel. If everyone has stopped serving and there's no Rotors and everything's fallen to bits because we're not doing anything anymore. But hear me now. But because there's that place for doing. But actually, there is a place. There is a massive place for a life of devotion. A life of devotion to Jesus Christ. Not just doing and doing and doing. Not forgetting who we're doing it for, but we set aside that time for devotion, for worship, for love of Jesus Christ. Luke 10 verse 40, but Martha was distracted. Martha was distracted. And when I read this in my preparations, it just wowed me a little bit because actually how easy is it for us to get distracted? We get distracted, we get sidetracked, we get unfocused, we're absent in our devotion and in our worship and in our love for him. And how Satan would love it for you to be distracted. How Satan would love it for you to be distracted and unfocused. How he'd love for you to be sidetracked and absent in your worship and in your devotion to him. When Mary was there in this moment, her gaze was at that of Jesus Christ. And Martha's gaze was somewhere else. She should have been over here with Jesus, but she was just too busy doing and doing and doing. And sometimes in our worship, it can be so easy for us to, we should be over here, but we're not. We're somewhere else over here because we've got other things to do and other places to go and things to do. I read a book recently by a guy called Eric Gilmore, and he writes this. He says, if your mind wanders, don't get upset if you have to reset. And I thought, actually, that's quite true. If your mind wanders, well, I thought not if, it's surely it's like when your mind wanders, because it always does. I don't know about you, but when you kind of set aside, you say, I'm going to set aside this time. I'm going to read my Bible for this moment. I'm going to spend some time in prayer. I'm going to do this. But actually, we just start to get distracted. Because as soon as I open my Bible, I think to myself, I was supposed to get that from the shops. I was supposed to get milk. Sharon said, get milk. I forgot to get milk. I've got to go pick up the kids. I've got this to do. Oh, that starts on the TV soon. I've got to make sure that I'm here. And before we know it, this devotion in the Word of God just slowly but surely just gets distracted and distracted and distracted. And Eric Gilmore says, if your mind wanders, if it wanders from that place, don't get upset if you have to then focus again and reset into that place of devotion back to him. Because if our mind just keeps on wandering, we'll forget who we're doing it for. Devotion is key. A life of devotion, of worship, of love to him is so key. We have to focus on him. We have to practice that place of just being in his presence. Nothing else matters. I'm just in this place. And if my mind starts to wander, I'm not going to get upset. I'm just going to reset. I'm going to go back to that point of this is where I am. This is who my life is for. And this is what my life is about. Billy Graham said this. He said, if you only have 10 minutes to pray, spend 9 of them in adoration. I love that. If you've only got 10 minutes in your day to pray, spend 9 of those minutes in adoration to him. Because he's worth it. He's worth our everything. He's worth our all. So if we only have 10 minutes, spend 9 of them in adoration. And then if you've got something to ask him or something to do, then you just fit that in the middle. So the majority of our prayer life is this, I need, I want, I have, can you do? Oh, thank you, Jesus, you're so good. When really it should be like, oh, we just love you, we worship you, we adore you, you're awesome. Will you just help me with this, Lord? We sometimes get this the wrong way around. If you only have 10 minutes to pray, spend 9 of them in adoration. Luke 10, verse 42, Jesus says this, only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is best. Mary has chosen what is best. Sometimes it's so easy, and I've spent a lot of my Christian life just doing and being and serving and being in places and doing things, which is all good and which is all vital, but there's that place of worship and adoration and being and spending time with him. For the month of February, I was on sabbatical. I'm not sure people noticed I was gone, but anyway, that's fine. But for the month of February, I was on sabbatical, and people just rightly so were saying to me, Will, what are you going to do? And this, a lot again, came from Sharon and from other people. What are you going to do? Where are you going? Well, do you not need to book onto a conference? Do you not need to be somewhere? What are you going to do? And I came to the conclusion that my answer was, for my sabbatical, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to be. I'm just going to be a child of God who sits at Jesus' feet. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to go anywhere or do any of those kind of different things. I'm just going to be a child of God who sits at Jesus' feet and spends time with him in love, in worship, and into a life of devotion to him. What kind of hospitality does Jesus receive in your life? Are you so busy planning and running your life that you neglect precious time with him? Or do you respond to him by listening to his word, then finding ways to worship him with your life? This is the kind of hospitality that he longs for, from each and every one of us, from me and from you and from Christ followers around the world. Jesus is after our attention, our devotion, our worship, and our love. So just in closing, that we would find time for him always, a life that is in awe, a life that is at his feet, not caring what the room thinks. Whatever the room thinks, it doesn't matter, because as long as we get it right with Jesus, it doesn't matter what the room thinks, it doesn't matter what other people think, because my life in Christ is so much more important. Pour our life into him, a life of devotion that keeps on pouring and pouring and pouring, not just a little bit, but we keep on pouring again and again. Waste and extravagant, they don't count. We sit at Jesus' feet, we set priorities, because Jesus is looking for a life of devotion. He's looking for a life full of devotion to him. I want us to, we're going to listen to a song in just a moment's time. And it's by a lady called Kim Walker, and the song is called Just Be. And this is what the lyrics say. It says, "Everything else can wait. I've come to seek your face. So everything else can wait. I'm here for you. I want to just be here at your feet. Just be here on my knees. Here in your presence, I am complete. Jesus, you're all I need. There's nothing I want more, because nothing matters more. Nothing else matters." And I want us just to sit in silence as we listen to this song. And the words will be on the screen, so you can just kind of follow along if you want, or if it helps, just close your eyes and listen to the words. But nothing else matters in this moment. Just to spend time focusing on him. So close your eyes if you must, watch if you must, kneel if you must, lay if you must, but a life of devotion to him. If we could play.
To see.